from deep inside your radio.
Well, I guess here it is. He didn't bother to say that, but here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, from New Orleans, Louisiana, to much of the world. Can't really be sure these days how much of the world is ever along. And this is a special holiday edition of Le Show, live from New Orleans, I should say, lest you think that I'm off in Hawaii. But before we launch into the broadcast, and by we, I mean, of course, me, first of all, a very heartfelt statement of gratitude from the ticker, literally from the ticker, to all the musicians and comedy folk from London to New Orleans who've lent their efforts so generously to this year's series of holiday sing-alongs that conclude tonight in New Orleans, all the way from New York, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and Chicago. Amazing performers giving of their time and having apparently a good time to aid the New Orleans Musicians Clinic, which gives high-quality health care to the musicians in New Orleans who keep the musical tradition that really is the base of most, if not all, of our popular music in this country alive by keeping the musicians alive. And, you know, high-quality health care without computer glitches or last-minute rules changes. Think of it. And this year also some share of the proceeds going to the international, I underline, for those of you paying attention, International Red Cross Philippine Typhoon Relief Fund. So again, and thanks to everybody who's come out to see the shows. Judith and I really appreciate it. Speaking of money, this has been a year of a lot of news stories relating to the banking industry. I'm not exactly sure of the exact number. There's two exact for you. But the percentage of the American economy accounted for by the financial sector has gone up sharply since 1980. That is to say, the percentage of the American economy devoted to making things that people actually use has gone down because the financial sector is basically devoted to moving money around and erecting little gates every once in a while on the pathways and making and charging tolls. That's how I understand it. So the financial sector has increased in size, and it continues to increase in size. The one can view quantitative easing by the Federal Reserve as sort of a backdoor bailout, continuing bailout of the banks. One could. I didn't say I do, but one could. And this week, Bloomberg News, which is subsidized by a company that makes money by selling little terminals so that the members of the financial community can get even faster information on how the money is traveling around and how to charge money on it. Bloomberg News reported this week that, you know, that in the last couple of years, there's been a scandal involving this thing called LIBOR, putting the lie in back in LIBOR. LIBOR, a rate used by to determine the interest rate that banks would charge other banks, which became the benchmark for interest rates around the world and which was being rigged by the banks because they could. So this week, Bloomberg reported that still another rate, another rigging may be in process. The so-called spot currency rate at which currencies of various countries are traded. There is apparently good reason to believe that that rate is being rigged, too, by the banks, because they can. So we begin this year's Christmas show, holiday show here on Le Show. The war on Christmas continues, of course, with this most heartfelt wish for the season. And by the way, hello, welcome to Le Show.
I believe Jamie Dimon is forever. ever, like the bakers whose names I do not know. They're the truly blessed ones this Christmas season. 'Tis better far to lend than to owe. So I want to be a beggar this Christmas. Standing tall, my shoes would need no lifts. 'Cause if I was a beggar this Christmas, I'd already have gotten all my gifts. I'd have regulations that I helped to write, and regulators smoother than a soffit. The Fed would lend me money at no interest at all. I'd relend it at a guaranteed profit. If prosecutors thought I'd cross the line, I'd come to private dinners with their boss. In the end, we'd repay a few million at most. We'd get a tax deduction on the loss. I'd have invented cool new ways to play with debt, and to get a lot more people living in it. And long before the New Deals got all wet, I'd receive my bonus in a New York minute. So I believe Jamie Dimon is forever. Forever is a long, long time. If you want to get me something, not a crime. I want to be a banker this Christmas. Standing tall, my shoes would need no lifts. 'Cause if I was a banker this Christmas, I'd already have gotten all my gifts. Yeah, I'd already.
The reindeer are down to kibble, and whatever they can catch. The elves are shopping outlet stores, their shoes no longer match. The gifts are made in Vietnam, China costs too much. When he takes a gal to Applebee's, Santa's dining Dutch. Santa Claus can't get financing. He's caught in the credit crunch. He'll fit through a lot more chimneys, 'cause the big guy's skipping lunch. Why not a bailout for Santa? He feels supremely subprime. Maybe J.P. Morgan will buy him. He's running out of time. They're grasping at straws at the House of Claus. The children are getting black and white cards instead of dolls and toys. And if Santa's not careful, there'll be IOUs for the sweet little girls and boys. The ermine's been trimmed off his collars, replaced with cheap plastic foam. The North Pole's warming up anyway. It's no place like home. Santa Claus can't get financing. Bankruptcy's looking good. It's loose change that he believes in as he flies through your neighborhood. why not a bailout for Santa? He feels supremely subprime. Maybe J.P. Morgan will buy him. He's running out of time. How about a bailout for Santa? A few billion should do the trick. Put away your hanky. Email Bernanke. Let the Fed take over St. Nick. Let the Fed take over St. Nick.
And while on the subject of financial matters this holiday season, a couple years ago, you know, just a couple years ago, Glenn Beck was all over the Fox News Channel. He has since, some would say, retreated, some would say advanced to his own television network based in, of all places, Dallas, Texas. So I don't know if he's still doing this, but certainly in his days as a Fox commentator, a big part of his broadcasts and on his radio shows as well was devoted to both program content and commercials pushing the idea of gold.
The three wise men went to Bethlehem with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. They brought no gifts for Joseph. And Mary, no, nothing for her. You see, it was all so very sudden. Of the moment, they had just the spur. So the three wise men, they went to Bethlehem with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now, their dried tree sap, or resins, as you can see on the blackboard here, that's the frankincense and the myrrh. They were brought there to calm baby Jesus, to make his wee engine purr. Oh, nothing sexist here. Mary could enjoy the benefits. To relax after childbirth, for sure. So, it's easy to guess why the wise men brought the frankincense and the myrrh. Oh, but the other gift, it might make you wonder, the way the story has always been told. You know, maybe the Roman economy was collapsing. Too much stuff bought and not enough sold. Or, you know, maybe they were minting counterfeit coins that were not worth enough to hold. Do you think that's why the wise men brought along not just frankincense and myrrh, but gold? Oh, they knew their new Lord would have need for a reliable property store. You see, he'd be chasing the money changers. So his cash wouldn't be good anymore. No. They'd need to retrofit the manger to keep out the termites and the mold. So the wise men, they remembered to bring along plenty of gold. Funny how smart three wise men could be with their gold, frankincense, and myrrh to sneak into Bethlehem under cover of night and manage to create no big stir. Now we're surrounded by wise men, but still we're left out in the cold. So forget the frankincense and myrrh this year. Call now to order your gold.
And speaking of Joseph,
Mary, I'm not contrary, but things are scary inside my creased oval brain. Yeah, honey, it ain't so funny. No, no, no. Do I call him Sonny, or would he complain? I see that kid in the manger, and he's a stranger to me. So the day that we were married, you said you would, I do. Wedding bells are distant now, and girl, so are you. You say you want your freedom, but freedom's just a word.
Myself through a faceless mirror, through wise men's eyes that shine like gold. I've looked at myself, and I'd look much queerer if my old lady wasn't old. So stay with me, play with me. Yeah, grow gray with me.
Pray with me. Do macrame with me.
Life's a holiday with thee.
tigers. If 52 degrees was way too cold, and he thought Rosa City was the new North Pole, and he drank hurricanes instead of hot apple cider.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, yes, the apologies of the week.
We're so sorry.
Sure. People apologize during the holiday season, don't they? Yes, they do. Dateline Cairo. Egypt has apologized for a banner promoting the new constitution that misspelt the word Egyptians and that carried images of foreigners instead of locals, embarrassing the government as it tries to rally support for the document. The draft constitution, which will be put to a mid-January vote, referendum actually, is an important milestone in the political transition plan mapped out by the army. The banner was unfurled at a high-profile news conference last week to promote the constitution. The Arabic text, they speak Arabic in Egypt, by the way, misspelled the word Egyptians. It spelled it as the Arabic word instead for determined. Who knew? And Google image searches identified three of the five people in the banner as non-Egyptians. Aside from that, Mrs. Lincoln, the banner was good. In English, the banner read, "All Egyptians Constitution." No punctuation. But who needs punctuation? With misspellings, who needs punctuation? In a statement, the State Information Service, the SIS, SIS, apologized for the misspelling but did not mention the controversy over the nationalities of the people portrayed in the banner. Well, half an apology is better than none. Dateline Albuquerque, New Mexico. A New Mexico high school teacher has been disciplined after a parent says the man told his black son the teacher, that is, told his black son that Santa Claus is white. Officials at the school in Rio Rancho, about 15 miles north of Albuquerque, said the teacher recently was disciplined for his comments to the student, but they just declined to say how. Were Chili's involved? The move came after students at Cleveland High School were told they could come to class dressed as Santa, an elf, or a reindeer. Michael Rougier told local TV station his ninth grade son Christopher arrived wearing a Santa hat and beard, and the teacher asked the boy, "Don't you know Santa Claus is white? Why are you wearing that?" The teacher's name was not released. Was it Megyn Kelly? Moonlighting from her job at Fox? No. "There's no room for that in the classroom," he said. Said the father, Michael Rougier, who was enraged by the comments. Whether this teacher felt Christopher may have been wearing this out of context, there's no room for it. There's just no room for it. Unquote. I guess he thinks there's no room for it. A spokesman for the Rio Rancho Public Schools told the Associated Press Cleveland High School teacher knows he made, quote, a stupid mistake, unquote, and has since apologized to the Rougier family. Quote, "The remark was inappropriate and should not have been made. The teacher feels very badly about what occurred," said district spokeswoman Kim Veasley. He self-reported the incident to the principal. Self-reported. Educators talking that way. And has apologized to the student and to the student's parent. Michael Rougier said he still has concerns about the teacher. "If he has that attitude, how is it affecting students' studies, grading habits, trending toward Caucasian kids?" he asked. He still works at the school, but the student, Christopher, has been removed from his class at the family's request. Can't we all agree that Santa Claus doesn't exist? Can't we just all meet right there? Guess not. Dateline Toronto. Daniel Dale, a reporter for the Toronto Star, will not pursue a libel lawsuit against Toronto's mayor, Rob Ford, according to the newspaper. Ford has issued a second, more complete public apology. Ford had implied Dale, the reporter, was a pedophile. Dale rejected an earlier apology in which Ford blamed the media for ascribing to him, quote, "a word I did not use." The new apology, by contrast, includes pretty much full retractions of everything Ford has said about Dale so far and the words he implied. Quote, "Finally, there was absolutely no basis for the statement I made about Mr. Dale taking pictures of children, nor for any insinuations I made." This is Rob Ford's statement. "I should not have said what I said, and I wholly retract my statements and apologize to Mr. Dale without reservation for what I said. I sincerely hope that Mr. Dale will accept my personal apology for my comments and all harm my words may have caused him." Dale tweeted his response, "I sincerely appreciate Mayor Ford's complete retraction and unqualified apology, and I'm very glad the truth is no longer in dispute. I won't be taking legal action against the mayor. I'm looking forward to getting back to work. I won't be commenting further." Dale had also planned to pursue a libel case against Zoomer Media, which aired the interview where Rob Ford, the Toronto mayor, reasserted his comments about Dale on Wednesday night. Zoomer Media also issued a full apology. The apologies of the week, ladies and gentlemen, a copyrighted feature of this broadcast. Of course, Rob Ford, the mayor of Toronto, in so much news this year, denying against the reported existence of a video showing to the contrary that he smoked crack cocaine, then ultimately admitting that he did, apologizing for having had to admit what he had previously denied, and a series of incidents since then, keeping him in the news, even after this apology to the reporter, going before the city council and issuing sort of a sarcastic Uber apology. "I'm very, 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 very sorry," he said to a fellow council person. So I know Time Magazine names the person of the year, and I think the Pope names the magazine of the year, so they're even. But our apologist of the year has to be Toronto Mayor Rob Ford.
The temperature's flirting with freezing, though the skies are sunny and dry. It's cold but wintry and pleasing. blazing, and the holiday spirits are high. In Canada's largest city, the winds are starting to blow. But in all of Greater Toronto, there's just one place you'll find Christmas snow. City Hall, corner office, mahogany desk by the window. You don't pay any fines when you do a few lines. The Yuletide snows of Toronto. The Yuletide snows of Toronto. And clean, but this Christmas do come exploring for a very new wintertime scene. On the floors of the Hudson's Bay Company, the gifts they are starting to pack. But although he's losing some powers, Rob Ford still got plenty of crack. City Hall, corner office, he's the ranger and his brother is Tonto. An official gift that can give you a lift. The Yuletide snows of Toronto. The Yuletide snows of Toronto. The season just calls for believing, though this is so hard to conceive. He's giving as well as receiving. Nothing's what he's got up his sleeve. To holiday spirits he's not immune. There's a bottle or two on his shelf. The gift that never stops giving is the gift that's known as himself. City Hall, corner office, you might wanna get there pronto. These are the snows that tickle the nose. The Yuletide snows of Toronto. The Yuletide snows of Toronto.
Another song was supposed to come by and pay us a little visit here. I think it's going to be here just about now.
I don't want nothing for Christmas. I've got plenty of stuff. I haven't got room for the things I own. Made up my mind, enough's enough. I have over 3,000 records. My books alone would fill a moving van. So I don't want nothing for Christmas. I hope you'll understand. I don't want nothing for Christmas. I've got too many clothes. 25 sweaters and 30 ties. 40 shirts, don't need no more of those. I can't think of any good reason I'd want more videos and DVDs. I don't want nothing for Christmas. Heed my wishes, please. Take the money you'd spend on a present for me and buy a beggar a meal, one he'll appreciate. Or you can stop by the house for a hug and a kiss. That would be great. Tidings for Christmas, nothing material, please. I'm more than happy with what I've got. I'm feeling good, my mind's at ease. We've all become too greedy. I don't care what our TVs say. Just spread your love to the needy. To have a great Christmas day. To have a great Christmas day.
From New Orleans, this is Le Show, and news of superbugs. About maybe it's a good idea that we're eating different poultry this time of year. Maybe we should make that a habit all year round. Turkey nuggets, anybody? Goose nuggets. Duck nuggets. About half of the raw chicken breasts in a nationwide sampling contained antibiotic-resistant superbug bacteria. This according to a U.S. consumer group, which called for stricter limits on use of the medicines on livestock. Now, we've been talking about this for years, the idea that they use antibiotics in livestock, not mainly for disease control, but mainly to make them grow faster, put weight on faster, get them out there, get them out of the feedlots faster. Get them into the slaughtering pit faster. Pit? And yet, it just occurred to me this week. I know, I'm slow. If you or I want to get antibiotics, we have to get them prescribed by a doctor. How do they get all these antibiotics prescribed for animals that aren't sick? It could be more difficult to treat people if they became ill after eating chicken with the antibiotic-resistant bacteria, says Consumer Reports. The group said it tested for six types of bacteria in 316 raw chicken breasts purchased from retailers nationwide during July. Well, July. It's hot, you know, it's July. There's going to be almost all of the samples contain potentially harmful bacteria, it said. A professor at the University of Mississippi. They have a university there? Wow. Did his own dissection of popular chicken nuggets and found they are very high in fat, salt, and sugar, duh, but not very high in meat. Where's the beef and the chicken nuggets, you saying? Is that what he's saying? He won't say where he got them because he's worried about the food lobby reaction. Forget the lobby. What about the dining room? From 49.7% carried a bacterium resistant to three or more antibiotics, according to Consumer Reports. 11% had two types of bacteria resistant to multiple drugs. Resistance was most common for the antibiotics used for growth promotion of poultry. There's a link. There's a smoking bug. Consumer Reports itself urged passage of a law to restrict eight classes of antibiotics for use only to treat humans and sick animals. It said that would be more effective than the FDA's plan announced last week to phase down the non-medical use of antibiotics in livestock over 3 years. In addition, it said the Agriculture Department should set levels for allowable salmonella and campylobacter bacteria in poultry and give its inspectors the power to prevent sale of poultry meat that contains salmonella that is resistant to multiple antibiotics. Apparently, they don't have that power now. Give me some turkey. Give me some goose. Give me some duck. Superbugs, ladies and gentlemen. I, for one, welcome our new superbug oppressors. And now news of the inspectors general. As U.S. diplomats wrangle with the Afghan government over terms of troop departures, you know that's going on, but auditors from the Special Inspector General for Afghanistan Reconstruction, the SIGAR, they have reported $5.5 million spent on incinerators that have never been used. Mint incinerators, right here, right now. Come and get them. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers signed a contract for the incinerators in September 2009 with International Home Finance and Development and accepted delivery last fall despite delays and without testing the equipment, which turned out to contain electrical problems. Army Corps of Engineers accepted delivery and didn't test the equipment. Thanks, guys and gals. This according to the report from the SIGAR. Even if the incinerators had been made operational, the SIGAR report says, the poor physical layout of the facility as constructed would have limited the facility to only 80% of the processing capacity called for under the contract and would have required extensive manual labor, you remember him, to load waste and remove ash residue, said the Inspector General's report. Because of the incinerator's poor quality, personnel on forward operating base Sharana were put at risk by open-air burning of solid waste, according to the Inspector General. It recommended that the Corps of Engineers conduct an inquiry. I bet they find that there was nothing wrong with accepting the incinerators and not testing them. Just a guess on my part. He suggested they consider disciplining contracting officers. The contractor, which was supposed to operate the incinerators, which is a different company from the one that supplied them, said it would cost about $1 million to render the equipment operational on top of the $5.5 million already spent on them. The Corps agreed with the recommendations and said it had already acted on them, but the Inspector General's report requested more detailed documentation since this is the Inspector General's third report on incinerators in Afghanistan. Apparently, it's hard to burn things in harder to burn things in Afghanistan than we imagined when we went in. So, once again, who would have known? Certainly not me, when I presented this song on a Le Show Christmas special way back in 2003. That would still be topical this year.
We've still got Karzai, we've still got Haqqani. For one day maybe it's okay to be Afghani. The stockings are hung by the chimney with care. It's the only place to hang anything there. The gift has been given, the Taliban beaten. No reindeers will visit, they know they'll be eaten. We've made such progress, we've come so far. Now it's Christmas in Kandahar. We fought side by side with Uzbeki and Turka. We've shaved off the beard and thrown off the burqa. It's so reassuring as we sit home alone to hear right above us a predator drone. Santa's crossed off his list the land where we dwell. We've been naughty this year and Muslim as well. John Kerry came by in an armored car. Must be Christmas in Kandahar. mastered the art of trimming the tree. We've covered it with a fine coat of explosive debris. There's no way to drive and no way to call. There's no stuff in the stores. There aren't any stores. And there isn't a moon. There's no little elves and no Charlie Brown. Just 4,000 Marines out on the town. Ramadan this year was strictly subpar. Now it's Christmas in Kandahar.
And despite his campaign pledge and his pledge when he took office, that is the president, this following song is still topical this Christmas, too.
The elves had to show picture ID. The reindeer got special screening. The gifts were all X-rayed, then thrown away, despite Santa's intervening. 14-year-old got a new bar of soap shoved through the slot in his door. Somebody's driver got a coupon from Saks and a gift card for lawyers to get him some more. The seagulls were filling a light blue sky while drones and choppers flew lazily by. The Cuban sun shone so brightly that day when Santa Claus came to Guantanamo Bay. To Guantanamo Bay. The old man with dementia was overjoyed. He opened his empty box first. The guards had removed ribbon and wrap from the ones called the worst of the worst. They roughly impounded Rudolph's red nose. It set off all kinds of alarms. Party was running 12 hours late on its scheduled departure for Midwestern farms. Castro was having a fortified drink, not really knowing what he should think or what he should take. Several hours to say when Santa Claus came to Guantanamo Bay. To Guantanamo Bay. A special environment greeted the crew. It had to make Santa so proud that on this one night, heavy metal was gone. It was carols being played way too loud. A jolly old fella brought a message of light. Gifts are mightier than sword. But he couldn't resist while he was there for the night, putting some elves on the water board. Seagulls were filling a light blue sky while drones and choppers flew lazily by. The Cuban sun shone so brightly that day when Santa Claus came to Guantanamo Bay. To Guantanamo Bay. To Guantanamo Bay.
And speaking of slammers,
it's Christmas time for OJ. The bars make a merry clang. He got matching fruitcakes from Van Atter and from Lang. A furry pudding from Furman. Prison food's grim enough. And OJ sings a jolly refrain. The Goldman's got my stuff. The Goldman's got my stuff. Bing dong, bling bong. Tinsel on the Joshua tree. It's Christmas time for OJ. Just like it ought to be. It's Christmas time for OJ. His cellmates made a pact. They'd make him sit on the football, and then they'd watch him act. The warden, he sent a candygram. Smells like droppings from McGruff. And OJ sings himself to sleep. The Goldman's got my stuff. The Goldman's got my stuff. Rosa Lopez forgot to send a gift, but she did return a broom. Bob Shapiro gave a handmade gift, a free year of legal Zoom. Bruno Mali sent some ugly ass shoes, prison footwear's kinda rough. And Santa Claus sings in OJ's dreams, the Goldman's got your stuff. The Goldman's got your stuff. Bing dong, bling blong, a high desert cooler is home. It's Christmas time for OJ. Never no more to roam. No, never no more to roam.
Dressed in leather, and the angels are in chains. The sugar plums are rancid, and the stockings are in flames. There's a demon in my belly, and a gremlin in my brain. There's someone up the chimney, holding Satan is his name. And it's Christmas with the devil. Christmas with the devil. And don't you know that it is? It is. The rats eat all the presents and the reindeer ran away. There'll be no Father Christmas, 'cause it's evil's holiday. So come on, you unfaithful, don't be left out in the cold. You don't need no invitation, your ticket is your soul. I know that it's a Christmas with the devil. And don't you know that it is a Christmas with the devil. And the stockings are in flames. So come on, you unfaithful, don't be left out in the cold. You don't need no invitation, your ticket is your soul. Because it's Christmas with the devil. is a Christmas with the devil.
And with that jazzing up of a Spinal Tap near classic, we close this edition of the holiday special here on the show. The program returns next week with more of the year in rebuke. At the same time, over these same stations, over NPR worldwide throughout Europe on the USAN 440 cable system in Japan, around the world through the facilities of the American Forces Network, up and down the east coast of North America via the shortwave giant WBCQ, the planet, 7.490 megahertz shortwave, on the mighty 104 in Berlin, around the world via the internet at two different locations, live and archived, kcsn.org and harryshearer.com. Available for your smartphone through stitcher.com and available as a free podcast from wwno.org, iTunes, SoundCloud, and Sideshow Network. And it'll be just like you having a good week. I'm planning to. If you'd agree to join with me then, would you already? Thank you very much. Uh-huh. A tip of the show, chapeau to the San Diego, Pittsburgh, Chicago, and Exile in Hawaii desks. Thanks always to Pam Halstead. Thanks to Jenny Lawson. Getting more famous by the day here at WWNO in New Orleans for help with today's broadcast. And I'll be yakking at you on Twitter at the Harry Shearer. Oh, the email address for this program and the playlist of the music heard here on, and a fabulous store where everything is $5. $5. Think of it. That's all available at harryshearer.com. Now stop thinking about it. The show comes to you from Century of Progress Productions and originates through the facilities of WWNO New Orleans, flagship station of the Change is Easy Radio Network. So long from New Orleans.